help us to commence this evening with hymn 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. 385.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Holy Word of God in the book of the Revelation and chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honour and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. May the Lord bless the reading of his solemn word. Grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty and eternal God of heaven, we read of those that worship thee in heaven, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come. We are a company of poor sinners, the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. We meet together, O Lord, around thy word in this sanctuary. A desire, O Lord, to worship thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. A desire, most gracious Lord, that thou wast put us into a worshiping frame of mind, that we may approach unto thee, the great I am, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We come in that glorious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we cannot come in our own name. We cannot come in our own person. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. From the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, we are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no soundness in our flesh. So we would humble ourselves. We would put our mouth in the dust. If so be, there might be hope. We would come, dear Lord, humbly hoping in the precious blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. We think of those wonderful, precious words of grace. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. We thank thee, O Lord, for that precious blood. We thank thee for that glorious sin atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that holy life that he has lived. Everlasting righteousness has been brought in. Divine justice has been satisfied. That God and sinners are reconciled. Mercy and truth are met together. Oh, most gracious Lord, we do desire to enter thy gates with praise and with the voice of thanksgiving for the abundance of thy mercy, for the greatness of thy mercy, for the greatness of thy love, for the greatness of thy compassion. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. O Lord, we thank thee for the gracious love of our Heavenly Father, that we know and experience in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that through that glorious Saviour, that holy sacrifice, that death, that resurrection, that ascension into glory, through him we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank thee for the blessed Spirit of truth. We thank thee for his divine power, his heavenly unction, that from time to time we know. We thank thee, most gracious Lord, as we look back. And sometimes, Lord, it's sweet to look back. And we think of those first movings of the Spirit in our heart, and those first movings of divine life in the soul, and that deep sense of our emptiness, our poverty, our wretchedness, our sinfulness. And this comes, O Lord, alone from the blessed Spirit, his inward power, his divine unction. We thank thee that that time arrived when he did take of the things of Jesus and revealed them unto us. Oh, that it may be such a night this evening hour that thou wouldst take of the things of Jesus, convince us of our sin, and lead to Jesus' blood, and to our wondering eyes reveal the secret love of God. Oh, most gracious, most merciful Lord God, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sacred communion of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us. We do humbly beseech of thee. Thou knowest the needs, the concerns, the burdens of each one present in the sanctuary. Thou knowest those that would be here but are unable to be here. And that thou knowest those, O Lord, that could be here but have no desire to be here. All is known to thee. Look upon them where they are. O Lord, one says the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose but call by grace. Gracious God, we pray for that divine power to attend the ministry of the word in this house of prayer, that sinners may be converted unto thee, that the strongholds of Satan may be pulled down, that the kingdom of the Lord Jesus may be set up in the hearts of sinners. We pray, most gracious Lord, that the wonderful power, light and glory of the gospel may shine into this village of Swavesey and into the surrounding villages and hamlets, that precious souls may be gathered in, that we may see thy goings in the sanctuary, that we may see a building of the wall of Jerusalem. O most gracious God, incline thine ear. We do humbly beseech of thee, pour, O Lord, upon thy people a spirit of real travail. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Lord, exercise our friends here, those that are spiritually minded. Exercise them in their own hearts, in their own circumstances, concerning the matters of their own life in a personal way, and exercise them concerning the house of God and concerning the village and the surrounding villages, that many, many, many precious souls may yet be gathered in. O most gracious Lord, stir up thy power. We read in thy word that when thou didst send forth thy servants and thou didst stir up through thy servants the people to work to build the second temple at Jerusalem. And we read that the Lord by thy servants stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and stirred up the spirit of Joshua the high priest. And the people had a mind to work. Lord, we pray that here in Swavesey there may be that spiritual exercise and that spiritual concern, and that they may be exercised and burdened, and may it press upon them that the need of a settled living ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding, that there may be a time of true prosperity, a time of the building of the wall. We do humbly beseech of thee. O Lord, let thy work appear. Let thy power be known. Let thy grace be manifested. We do humbly beseech of thee. We seek, dear Lord, thy rich blessing upon our brethren the deacons, that thou wouldst bless them indeed. We seek thy rich blessing upon our brethren and sisters in Christ. Oh, that thou wouldst bless them indeed. And that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That we may be made more spiritually minded. That our affections may be placed on things above. That we may present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thee, which is our reasonable service. And that we be not conformed to this world, but may we be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might know what that good and perfect and acceptable will of the Lord is. O Lord, we do pray that thou in thy precious mercy would be with thy servants as they come in and out among this people. We pray that thou would bless the young and rising generation, the little ones, the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, the young friends, oh, that thou would bless them indeed and take them in hand and teach them thy ways and lead them into thy truth and open their heart to receive thy word. O Lord, we do beseech thee, preserve and keep them from the allurements of this vain world. Preserve and keep them from a sinful, wicked heart and nature. Preserve and keep them from the temptations of the wicked one. We do humbly pray thee. And now, my God, prepare my soul for that great day and wash me in thy precious blood. Take all my sins away. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless each and every one of thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, to send true labourers into the harvest. We seek that thou wouldst bless those in the midst of the journey of life, bearing the heat and the burden of the day. Help them to commit all things into thy kind and thy gracious hand. We seek that thou wouldst be with and undertake for those in old age, its attendant weaknesses and infirmities, and come and bless them, Lord, and grant that at evening time it may be light, that the light of the gospel and the glory of God may be seen. We do humbly pray thee. Prepare us for that great change that shall come unto each and every one of us. Preserve us in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, when iniquity abounds on every hand, when the spirit and power of Antichrist is so manifest in the day in which we live. O Lord of hosts, O God of Israel, O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, and come and save us. O Lord, we do beseech thee. Remember, O Lord, our little group of churches, but a part of thy Zion. Blow with the wind of thy spirit. Bless the editors of our magazines and the secretaries of the societies and the committees as they gather. Lord, do hear us, we pray thee. Return to Jerusalem with mercy. And wherever thy servants stand, and wherever thy people gather, in this nation, in the nations of the earth, Lord, be with them. We especially think of those in those dark places of the earth, where iniquity abounds, where false religion has the upper hand, and where thy people are persecuted and imprisoned, even unto death and torture. Lord, we pray that thou would send deliverance. Send them help, strengthen them out of Zion. O Lord, we do beseech thee, for thy great name's sake. Lord, bless our nation, our queen, our consort, the royal household. Richly bless them, Lord, we pray thee. Preserve unto us our Protestant heritage, our civil and our religious liberties. Raise up, O Lord, in our parliament, in our government, in our civil service, among our judges and magistrates, men of God, men of integrity and uprightness, we do humbly pray thee and grant that we may live a quiet and a peaceable life. Oh, do hear us, O Lord, and make us fruitful unto every good work and word and way, that we may honour thee in all that we do, in all that we say. We do humbly pray thee. Be with us now, Lord, as we turn to thy holy word and open thy word to our heart and to our understanding. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1113. How watchful is the loving Lord, how sweet his providential word to children that believe. Your very hairs are numbered all, not one by force or chance can fall without your Father's leave. 1113.
Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation, and we'll read the first part of verse 9. The book of the Revelation, chapter 19, reading the first part of verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's book of the Revelation. There are many things in it which are quite mysterious and quite unknown to us. But because it is mysterious and because it is very prophetical, it speaks of things that are to come. It speaks of things, of course, that have happened. And yet, if we come to it in the right spirit, and we read it in the right spirit, it is exceedingly profitable book to read. Profitable to our souls in a spiritual way. And one thing we must always remember when we look at the book of the Revelation is the opening clause of the first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And that is fundamentally what it is. It covers the period of time from the first coming of Jesus Christ unto the second coming of Jesus Christ. When he first came, he came as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He came to redeem his people, to save his people from their sins. When he comes a second time, he will come without sin unto salvation. He will come in power and in great glory. In this book of the Revelation, we have what you might say snapshots taken of the various times. I don't believe it is a profitable thing to try and read it in a chronological order, because there are, for instance, there are seven thunders, seven plagues, seven vials of wrath, seven angels, seven trumpets. And some would try to interpret it as coming in a chronological order. First this bit, then that, then something else. In actual fact, I believe that those seven vials and those seven trumpets and those seven angels with the trumpets, they are throughout this period of time that we now live in, what are called gospel days, when the gospel is preached in every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, and every people. And when the Lord will gather his people unto himself, when he will send forth his servants as he gives them that divine command, go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel unto every creature. And so the Lord, he sends forth his servants to preach the everlasting gospel. We read of times of great tumult. We read of times of great persecution, of great sorrow in the church. We read of times when it appears that the devil has the upper hand on earth, and when he would love you to think that he has the upper hand on earth. And yet one of the great things of this book of the Revelation is that always, without fail, every time that the enemy comes, in whichever guise or way that he comes, whether as an angel of light to deceive the people of God, or whether as a roaring lion to frighten the people of God, every single time, if you carefully read the book of the Revelation, the Lamb eventually reigns victorious, and they, that is his people, shall overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And so it's a book of great encouragement. You look around us today, We see the spirit and power of Antichrist that is so great in our nation and in the nations of the earth today. When the Christian religion is accounted as nothing, and when we're told and we're instructed that we must treat all men as equal, and that we all worship the same God. It doesn't matter whether you're a Hindu, a Muslim, or Buddhist, or whatever you do, we all worship the same God. And that's the spirit of the day in which we live. And it's the spirit of Antichrist. We don't all worship the same God. The scriptures teach us abundantly, clearly, and that is that there is only one true God. And he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. And this one true God has sent forth his only begotten Son to save sinners from their sins. And those sinners from every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe and every people. Indeed, the watchword I often feel of the book of the Revelation is found here in chapter 19 and verse 6. Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's fundamentally the teaching of this book. Now, when we live in days like we do, when the power of Antichrist, the power of Satan is so great, and he appears, and he would love you to think that he has the upper hand, that he's in control. If the devil had the affront to say to the almighty Son of God, he showed him all the kingdoms of this world, and he said, I will give them to thee. He already had them. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's the affront of Satan. If he did that to the Son of God, how much more to us? To try to make us to believe that he is in control, that everything is in his hand. My beloved friends, if there's one thing that is taught in the book of the Revelation, it is this: God is in control. God is omnipotent. God has all power. That's what the word omnipotent means: universal and complete power. That's the meaning of the word. The power of God is supreme. It stands to reason, doesn't it? There can only be one omnipotent. And this God, this great God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, of whom the Apostle Paul tells us in Acts chapter 17, in him we live and move and have our being, in this great God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Now, we read here after the previous chapters speak of the solemn judgments of God upon the Babylon. That is the mystical Babylon, one of the primary manifestations of the, and may I say, not the only, but one of the primary manifestations of the mystery of Babylon is the Roman Catholic Church. There can be no doubt as you read through the book of the Revelation that that is so. But it's not the only Antichrist. There are many Antichrists. And that last great Antichrist that shall come upon the earth, the beast that is spoken of here in the Revelation and in the book of Daniel, is the great last Antichrist that will actually destroy the whore of Rome. The beast represents political power. The whore represents a false church. And it says that she shall ride upon the beast, but the beast will turn and devour her. And so that last great power on earth, which we can see gradually coming together in the days in which we live, in these so-called politically correct days when everything is being controlled and etc., and it all points to one place, and we must all behave in the same way in accordance with what is being decreed and purposed. And we see the nations of the earth coming together and joining in unholy alliances. We see the World Council of Churches and the United Nations. And on the surface, you would think, well, these are good things. They're joining, making people reconcile together. My beloved friends, they are the manifestation of the Antichrist. They are against the Lord Christ. They are against real religion. They are against the Word of God, the truth of God, and the way of God. And they are a manifestation of the Antichrist in the day in which we live. You see, and we read here in the book of the Revelation that, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The Christian believer is not only in this day, as it always has been, the Christian believer swims against the tide. And swimming against the tide is hard work. But that is the way of the Christian believer. They have to swim against the tide. And by their witness, they witness to the grace of God. And by their walk and their conduct and the way that they behave themselves, they witness to the power of the grace of God. And they follow Jesus Christ. May the Lord give us that grace to follow Jesus Christ. See, in this chapter 19, we find it again and again. As I said, there are snapshots, and we're constantly being brought to the end of time. In chapter 16, we're brought to the end of time, Armageddon, when the armies are all gathered against the Lord Christ. And again here in chapter 19, we're brought to the end of time. And when the armies are gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. And he comes here victorious. It speaks here, it starts this chapter. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honour and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Remember, a whore is a false church, an anti-Christian church, parading as a Christian church. And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. We have 24 elders. What do these 24 elders represent? What do they mean? Remember, this is very mystical and very, we have to be careful of how we interpret. But I believe this is a very clear interpretation. The 24 elders represent the Old Testament and the New Testament church. You have the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and we have the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so in the 24 elders we have represented in heaven the Old and the New Testament church. And the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia, Amen, Alleluia. Christian church, Christian people, they're called. The apostle, he says in one place, doesn't he, called to be saints. Called to be saints. So we have in our text here, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I want first just to look at this, blessed are they which are called. And I want to just look at that section of this part first. Blessed are they that are called. Every single child of God will be called by divine grace. One of the purposes of the Lord sending forth his servant to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ is that there might be his children called by divine grace. He said to the disciples, those fishermen, and he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. They go forth, the Lord's servants, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, setting forth the wonderful glory of Christ and the wonders of redeeming love, and preaching the lost estate of man and the holy law of God and the solemn curse of God upon all those that love not our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. And one of the purposes and one of the burdens of every true gospel minister is that there might be the salvation of souls. That's one of the things that truly burdens a true gospel minister, that precious souls may be gathered unto Christ, that they may be called by divine grace. The Apostle Paul, in the first chapter of the epistle to the Galatians, he says, God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And called me by his grace. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And just as there has been a time to be born to each one of us naturally, and that is appointed by God. And so for every true Christian believer, every soul that has been chosen by the Father and redeemed by the Son, the time comes when the blessed Spirit will quicken their soul into life. They will be called by divine grace. It's a divine call. It's a powerful call. It's a call that reaches right into the very soul. My mind, as I was sitting in the vestry before the service, my mind was much drawn to those very solemn words that we have in the book of the Proverbs, especially in the first chapter. And in that first chapter of the book of the Proverbs, we read, wisdom crieth without. Wisdom is Christ. Christ is true essential wisdom. In him dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and of understanding in the glorious person of Jesus Christ. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. It's Christ. He's true, essential wisdom. And so here he says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. What is it alluding to? What is it speaking of? The Lord sends forth his servants, anointed by the Holy Ghost, and they preach. And the voice said, cry. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof as the grass of the field. The grass withereth. The flower fadeth away. That's what flesh is. All flesh is grass. We're all dying. We're dying creatures. We're born to die. We're under the solemn curse of Almighty God. Because the word of God declares, cursed is every man that doeth not all things that is written in the book of the law to do them. We're cursed with a solemn curse. Therefore we must die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh, my beloved friends, how solemn that is. And how awful that is. May the Lord make it deeply solemn and awful in each one of our hearts. So that we, like the Philippian jailer, when he was so deeply convinced, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of the concourse. In the opening of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words. You see, this is speaking of the preaching of the gospel. It's not to be done in a corner. It's not to be done secretly. It's to be done publicly before all people. How many times have I found in my ministry when people have tried to hinder me? Good people, godly people. Well, you mustn't go and preach there. And you mustn't go and preach there. And whatever you're doing, go in there. My dear beloved friends, that word has walked up and down in my soul ever since I've been in the ministry. Go ye into all the world. Into all the world. Preaching the gospel unto every creature. That must be so. And this is what it's speaking of here in the Proverbs. She crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words. I think it was the late Mr. John Broom. And he said to me on one occasion, if I was asked to go and weep and preach in the Westminster Cathedral, I'd go and I'd preach. Amen. That's what I say. Amen. May the Lord make us willing to go forth where he would open the door and make a way to preach the everlasting gospel. Now, what does she say? She cries. She uttereth her words. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. How does the Lord pour out his spirit on his servants? He anoints them with the divine and blessed spirit, and they go forth to preach the word in the power of the Holy Ghost. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. What is the Lord's divine command to his servants? Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. It's to open the holy scriptures and expound the word of God and set forth the solemnity of being a sinner and under the curse of God, and to set forth the way of life. Under that holy law is the way of death. Under Jesus Christ is the way of life. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth cometh by Jesus Christ. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now listen. Listen to the solemn things that are said here, my beloved friends. May they sink deep into our hearts. Remember our text. Call and listen to what it says. Because I have called and ye refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also, speaking here of the day of judgment, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Remember, my beloved friends, this is Almighty God that is speaking here. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish cometh upon you, when is it? In the great day of judgment. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the opening of the gates. She calls here in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. We read also in the 8th chapter, and it speaks there, doth not wisdom cry? Doth not wisdom cry? Again, Christ is wisdom, essential wisdom. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. It's Christ that is speaking here. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. Christ is wisdom. Christ is wisdom. It's to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Christ is wisdom. Christ is the way to God. You know, my beloved friends, it goes right to the end of that chapter, the eighth chapter, and it says, hear instruction. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. How many of us here in this chapel have that humble hope that we love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth? How many of us can say that? How many of us have heard the voice of wisdom? It's reached into our heart. It's preserved us from sin. It's taught us where we are from this blessed book, the Bible. Shown us where we are as a poor sinner. And also by the inward power and teaching of the Spirit, revealed unto us the way of life and the way of truth in Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which are called. A wonderful thing then, if we know something of what it is to be called by divine grace. If we can look back and we can see those spots and places in our life when the Lord was speaking to us, when the Lord stopped us, and when Christ was made precious to us. And when we turned our backs on this world, you know, unto you, O men, I call. What is that divine call that we read of in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Come out from among them, out from this world, the ways of this world. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Unto you, O men, I call. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. There is a divine call that calls us out of this world, and away from the things of this world, and the ways of this world. And it calls us to follow the Lamb, to follow Jesus Christ. And he, by that inward work of the Spirit, working faith in the heart, and giving real repentance, Christ becomes so precious. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Just before we continue, my mind was very much drawn to the sixth verse of chapter 20. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? It's when a poor sinner, this is what I mean, there is much profit in the book of the Revelation. What is the first resurrection? It's when a poor sinner is resurrected from spiritual death into spiritual life. And that is a divine act of grace by the Almighty God to resurrect a poor sinner. Ye must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon such, the second death hath no power. The second death is when a poor guilty sinner is brought before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and they're consigned to eternal damnation. That is the second death. But those that have part in the first resurrection, upon such, the second death hath no power. No. They are called. The evidence that they're a child of God. And that, my beloved friends, is the only evidence that I can find from Genesis to Revelation that a person is a child of God. A divine call. I've probably often told you, I remember reading about a man on a beach who wanted to know that he was in the covenant. And he was a cottage right down on the seashore, and there was a large seabird out on the beach. And he said to the Lord, if I can get out of this house and go and catch that bird and measure it wingtip to wingtip, then I shall know that I'm a child of God, that I'm in the covenant. What utter nonsense it is. Even if he had been able to do that and to measure it from wingtip to wingtip, it would have been no evidence whatsoever that he was in the covenant. The only evidence that you're in the covenant is to be born again of the Holy Ghost and called by divine grace. Blessed are they that are called. That's the only evidence I can find in the whole of the Word of God, that a person is a child of God, and the evidence is they are called by divine grace. We have a divine order that is set out in the Word of God in the 8th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans, and he speaks there that well-known word in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now you listen to the order here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who then can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. A divine call. Now here we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride of Christ. We read in, I think it's chapter 21, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And here where it says, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now here in the book of the Revelation, we read in the 7th chapter of the Revelation, when John, he saw these arrayed in white clothes, and he said, whence came they? And he said unto me, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, notice the connection. They've washed their robes. They've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, are they before the throne of God? Not because of anything in themselves. In themselves as weak as worms. That's what poor believers are. But in Christ, they're clothed in that glorious robe of his righteousness. They're washed in that precious sin-atoning blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. White, pure, holy, righteous, ruddy. Ruddy is blood red, his precious blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. What is the spouse saying there? My beloved is white and ruddy. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Upon this rock, said Jesus Christ, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Precious foundation, gospel truths. The Lord Jesus, as we know in the Gospels, he spake by parables. He spake by parables. And in some of those parables, he has a marriage. We read in Matthew 22. Then Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now listen here, my beloved friends. Because it's a parable, it does not lessen the truth. The truth that is contained in it. Let us not despise it because it's a parable, because it's a story. It's a parable of the Son of God that he spake to instruct us in the ways of righteousness and truth. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Just read in those solemn words in Proverbs chapter 1, how I called and ye refused, and ye set at naught all my counsel. Here it is in another way, spoken by Jesus Christ. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. And went their ways, one to his farm, one to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies. We read of it here in the 19th chapter of the Revelation. How he sends forth his armies. How he will consume the wicked with the word of his mouth in that great day of his wrath. Solemn thought, isn't it? Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways. You see, he came unto his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. And then he sent his word throughout all the nations of the earth, and his servants to preach the everlasting gospel in all the nations of the earth. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, this is what seemed to stand out to me last evening when I was seeking to prepare for this evening. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And I understand in some eastern countries it is still the custom, if a wedding feast is laid on, that when the invitation goes out to each one of the guests. A wedding garment comes with it. And you have to wear that to the wedding. And then as soon as they see you, they know that you were invited to the wedding because you have on a wedding garment. Now the Lord Jesus is using that custom here to instruct us. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. What a solemn separating word that is set before us, isn't it? I want to come now more closely to this marriage supper. And my mind was much drawn to those beautiful words that we have in the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 25 and verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. What is this feast? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's this feast. That's what we, month by month, we come and sit around the table of the Lord and the feast, the wine and the bread. A feast of fat things. What does it represent? The bread represents the broken, bruised body of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The wine represents the precious shed blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's the sacred feast of fat things. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people. You think of that glorious feast of our crucified Redeemer. And you think in that solemn act of crucifixion, just before he was crucified there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Eternal Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And in that, cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree, he was crucified for the sins of his people. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, that precious blood. He poured out his soul unto death. That precious blood that he shed, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It was pure blood, it's holy blood, it satisfied all the demands of divine justice. The Eternal Father smelled a sweet savour. You think of the type that there is in the Passover lamb, when the blood was taken from that lamb and put upon the sideposts and the lintel of the doors. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, my beloved friends, the Paschal lamb represents our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Then in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people. My beloved friends, heaven will ring eternally to the thankful praises of the redeemed church of God. Blessing the Lord for that holy sacrifice of the cross of Calvary that redeemed them from their sin, that delivered them from the curse, that brought them to eternal glory. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God shall wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. All these precious souls that were called by divine grace, when Jesus comes again, the second time, he will call them to eternal glory, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's always been very sweet to me in the Gospel of Matthew, I think it's in chapter 24, when we read the solemn events at the second coming of Jesus Christ, and there's this word, and it's always been very sweet to me. And he will send his angels to the four corners of the earth to gather his elect. That's the very first act of Jesus Christ when he comes a second time without sin unto salvation. He will send his angels to all the four corners of the earth, and all his children redeemed, they shall come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 772. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. 772.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.